Our voice is something that many of us take for granted. The fact that it sounds like us reflects who we are, how we see ourselves. But what if it didn't? The team at Illinois State University Speech and Hearing Clinic is now offering gender-affirming communication services to those who identify as transgender. WGLT's Ryan Denham speaks to Tricia Larkin and Lisa Vinny from ISU's Department of Communication Sciences and Disorders about their work and what it means to be their clients.
We have several individuals in the community who feel a need to have a voice that's congruent with their gender identity. And so we assist them to find a voice that allows them to be perceived in congruence with their gender identity.
So how many clients have you had receiving a gender-affirming communication services?
It's exciting to say we've seen great growth in the service as more individuals are becoming aware of something that's not available outside of the Chicago, St. Louis area. Yeah. And so we have patients traveling 2 hours to come work with us. We initially started with two individuals that we saw in combined group and individual therapy. Now we have six individuals that are with us this semester, but we've also had some others in the semesters leading up to this really great increase in our patient, our client volume.
Who are the clients? And if they're transitioning, where are they at in their process when they come to you?
That's a hard question to answer because I don't know that we can say there's a beginning and an end point, but they have come to a place where they feel like that's the next step for them to take, and they're courageous enough to let someone share in the experience of that transition. And so it's been a great privilege to partner with the clients to help them make that transition.
In kind of broad terms, in what ways can your voice kind of define who you are as a person?
I think voice and identity are very much interlinked. So there's elements of how loud you are when you speak, how high or low your voice is in pitch, and the quality of it. And those are all things that can be modified and addressed in a healthy way. So many, I think, clients, you might say, Trish, come in and they have an idea of what they're looking for in terms of their voice and communication. Others need a little help sort of figuring it out.
And what are they looking for? Can you give me an example of someone without betraying any confidentiality? You know, someone describe where they want to go and how you help them get there.
It's been interesting because we talk about a gender continuum with the individuals that we see. You might have noticed that we've tried not to use the word patient and use the word client because at one point in time in the history of all this, people saw us delivering a service to fix a problem. And really it's about a difference, as Lisa mentioned. And so some of the individuals that we work with want something that is very feminine or very masculine, while others want to be able to use that whole range between the two, almost to what we call code switch. In this moment, I want a very masculine voice, but in another moment, I would prefer to be able to control the voice mechanism and have a very feminine voice. And so we try to respect the very different individual preferences, and it's not even really a preference, it's a need. This is what represents me, and this is what I'd like you to help me figure out.
And do you find that some of your clients have tried to do it on their own and realized, I'm not where I want to be. I need actual professional help.
I think that's one of the primary reasons that these services are so important. If you try to self sort of treat or change the voice mechanism, the communication mechanisms, you can cause damage. And so these services kind of guide patients, clients towards a change in a healthy way.
How difficult is it for someone who's on this continuum that you've described when their voice and the way they sound and the way they communicate is not congruent with their gender identity? Can you talk about how hard that is for your clients who are in that position when it doesn't match? And I don't know, the kind of emotional impact that has on them as they're going through this.
The emotional element to the treatment is incredibly important because they are having to be vulnerable about something that's so deeply personal. And so we spend a lot of time talking, building rapport, and providing supportive counseling in the sense that it's really hard to live your identity in a world that maybe doesn't support it in all ways. And so we process those sort of things together. We process some of the family or significant other dynamics that interfere with, as well as help them practice and move forward. But generally, we see about a 6 to 8 month window for really being able to find a voice that they tell us represents what they're looking for, and then making that more of their communication patterns with less work. Mm-hmm. Some of these individuals are having to do incredible work to be mindful of what they want, practice it, and then sustain it, especially when life gets really demanding.
Mm-hmm. You know, are there specific voice exercises or practice that they kind of go through typically that a client would go through as they're going through this treatment or these services?
The piece that we often talk about, what aspect of their voice do they really want to maintain because they recognize the value of it? And then what features would they like to add or build on? And so if they're looking for something that has more masculine aspects to it, then we do some work to shift the resonance of that sound from their lips and their head space down into their jaw and their chest space, where someone who's looking to understand the more feminine aspects of voice production might spend time figuring out, how do I shift that voice from my chest up into the headspace so that it's perceived as they wish others to perceive it.
It's interesting how you put it too, that so much of this is about change, but also maintaining something that you like about your voice or the way you communicate. Can you think of an example of something maybe a client has brought to you and said, I want to keep this. This is a part of the way I am that I don't want to lose.
Some of my individuals that I work with have positions of authority. And so they feel a need to have a voice that lets them convey those sorts of intentions. Good or bad, society has assigned more of an authoritative role to a more masculine voice. And they understand that that's just the environment they work in, and they don't want to lose that piece. We chose the term gender affirming specifically, though, because we're not just focused on the community for transgender individuals. If someone were to come to us and say, my voice is more feminine than I would like for my radio job, I need to really add emphasis to the resonance that creates that deep, rich radio voice, we would help them find those elements as well.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm speaking with Tricia Larkin and Lisa Vinnie from Illinois State University's Department of Communication Sciences and Disorders. They're teammates on providing gender-affirming communication services at the department's Speech and Hearing Clinic on campus. Lisa, you're an associate professor in the department, and you focus on voice problems, disorders, differences. So what is your role in these gender-affirming communication services that you do at the clinic?
I'm involved in a little bit of a different way. So when these services first started, they started in 2017, and Trish had a huge interest in taking them on, but I don't work in the clinic. But my background is more in this the voice and voice area. So I feel like I've served more as a consultant than a direct provider of the services. But I feel that they're incredibly important. It's really rewarding to see them growing and to see how they've evolved and changed over time. I think we've learned a lot over the last 2 years. So, yeah.
I'd like to share an analogy that we kind of laugh about now, but I spoke to Lisa's voice class a couple weeks ago mm-hmm. about this particular service, and Lisa introduced me as a pioneer. And I said, well, if I'm a pioneer, Lisa's riding along in my covered wagon, and I might be holding the reins, but she's sitting on the bench of the covered wagon with me, because voice is not my area. I have a rich background in a lot of different types of services and settings. This was not one of them. But Lisa created a safe space for me to explore it. And when I am puzzled by the technical pieces, I know that I have an ear that understands where I'm coming from and why I'm asking.
What has been the most rewarding part of the past 2 years for you, working in gender-affirming communication services?
One aspect of it is not related to my clients here, but the fact that I'm a clinical educator helping shape the culture of our profession and the ethical responsibilities that the students we train need to have. And so when I can say to them, this is incredibly rewarding work, it's hard work, it's necessary work when you think about well-rounded, patient-centered care. Mm-hmm. If you have a problem with it, you kind of need to get over it mm-hmm. because our ethics say mm-hmm. everyone is entitled to quality, culturally sensitive care. Mm-hmm. So that's one aspect of it. When I started, at first it was, this is all about safety. Individuals need to be perceived as they are so that they can be safe in our community. As I've learned so much more and partnered with individuals who are members of the community, I realize it's so much more than that. It's about quality of life. It's mm-hmm. about being seen and heard. Mm-hmm. And that's just very profound.
So neither of you are transgender yourself. You're cisgender. So how does that factor into the work that you do?
I guess one piece that gets talked about in our community of providers is how does someone who is what they call cisgender, who is congruent with their identity assigned at birth, think that they can partner with the clients in the communication treatment setting and do this sort of treatment? We would love to have more transgender individuals filling the role that we currently have. They're just not there. Yeah. And so we have clients who have to drive to Chicago to find these services. And even there, they're not finding speech-language pathologists who are also transgender individuals. Mm-hmm. There is a huge gap that needs to be filled by individuals who are members of that community. Until that happens, we want to make sure that the services are available mm-hmm. locally.
That's Tricia Larkin, a clinical educator in the Department of Communication Sciences and Disorders at ISU, alongside Associate Professor Lisa Vinnie. They're both working to provide gender-affirming communication services at their department's speech and hearing clinic here on campus. I'm Ryan Denham.
You can learn more about these services and many others at isuspeechandhearing.com.